Welcome, supporters, and a week later, those who haven't yet, to another episode of the Q&A bonus episode of TWBD. That's right, there will be dungeons, questions and answers. You guys submit them, we answer them, and they are lovingly curated by our own Kristen Ashton, who takes them all, puts them in a big lump, and then we make sense of it all and answer your questions. If you want your questions to be featured on the show, it's simple and easy. Go to the website, There Will Be Dungeons. Right there below the main information is a big form. You put in your name and your question, and that's it. That's all you have to do. Hit submit. You don't even have to bother with an email or any of that. Just do it right on the site, therewillbedungeons.com. Go there today. All right, let's jump right into it. We got a bunch of questions. Kristen has them. Kristen, take us away.
All right, well, I'm going to start us off with a fun one that came in that, again, starts with just for fun in a death match between our four main heroes. Nothing and Squirts can join, too, if they like. Who comes out victorious, and what does the battle look like?
Mm. I don't know.
I mean, I think it's Nash, probably. So the thought behind my answer is Bo has been very generous with some very OP abilities and items. And most of those don't exist anymore. They're gone or diminished in some way. But Nash remains undiminished. And so I think he's probably the most OP member of the party at the moment.
Yeah, if we were all just in a room and something popped off and all the characters just kind of chaotically launched everything, you know, like that. What's that? There's a game where you can just set up armies and see how they do against each other. That battle simulator, I think it's called, Tabs. Anyway. Yeah. If you've never seen that, you can say, all right, what if it's 500 little dudes with spears against 20 elephants? And then you just let them go at it and see how it ends up. And I used to do custom maps like this in StarCraft all the time. I used to love doing this. And it was fun just to see what would win. If you had a room like that and we were all just like to whatever devices we have and just go for it, unless Hope has her bazooka in there, it's probably me. Just because I can make a big fiery mess in there, probably.
I disagree.
Oh,
ooh.
All right.
Ah, yes. All right.
I believe that Stan Lee would mind control Varel, win the fight with points to Varel, and then Varel would banish himself to wander the desert forever because of the shame.
That's not a bad idea.
Done.
You know, I was hoping for some contest between, just as a fun side fact, the end of the Kaer'Valon dungeon. I tried to engineer a potential conflict between party members, but they stuck together, and now they're in Sigil because of it.
Oh, yeah, I was going to... So you had you hoped for that, that there would have been dissent, and then a full-on...
Well, I gave you a premonition that some people would decide not to save the world and to just go to another world, right?
Yeah.
But it was a different version of the future, but I was trying to sow the seeds of doubt for the story and make it that way. But everyone's like, no, but cool. We all commit suicide. It's great.
Yeah.
We saved the world. That's good enough. We're heroes. And I mean, you're better for it.
One but for all for fact, one, right? Everybody.
It could have been a fight.
Could have been. We can dream about it.
Maybe one day in the future, there will be a severely dramatic episode with betrayal and PvP.
Ooh, maybe.
Nice. I mean, we've gotten into it a little bit. Varel tried to kill Diantalus once.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Diantalus, even though you were playing him, was clearly a third party. Was clearly a bad actor, right? And you did the only sad part about Diantalus not being here is you're no longer here to perform him because you did great at it. But he sort of doesn't count. I don't know. Who knows? Maybe we'll have another dream. You'll find another worm, and instead of having a giant love-making session, you'll have a PvP session and see how everyone...
Well, speaking of our own personal lore, D&D lore, I love the show. I've been through a very critical time in my life, and I'll always look back on it happily for sure. My question is for Bo. This is my first exposure to D&D, and I'm wondering where D&D lore ends and the campaign's lore begins. For example, I imagine the Weir is a well-established place available to all D&D campaigns. Maybe? Is K'tobel Praeth canonical? And what about dragons? Is Sigil your creation?
So the reverse. The Weir is something that doesn't exist in any D&D campaign books, as far as I know. Although, the Far Realm, which it's been alluded to that the Weir is a part of, definitely does exist. But the Weir and its people, including K'tobel Praeth, is... exclusive to this campaign. Sigil and the planes of existence are available to all DMs. I recommend, I think there's an older book, second edition. You're new to D&D, so probably don't start with this book. But a lot of the ideas come from the Manual of the Planes, which is a second edition book, as well as I'm using Planescape. If you've heard of the video game Planescape Torment, that is a D&D game based on, you know, that campaign setting, like Dragonlance or Forgotten Realms in D&D. And those books are great. They are beautiful to read. They've aged really well, I find. And that's where I'm getting the going to the interdimensional world wasn't a part of the plan, but now that we're here, I've had to rely on, you know, TSR material to help supplement, to help my time, because I can come up with my world, but I can't come up with all the pantheon and all the factions and all the things. So it's been very helpful to have that. And so you can kind of fit the way D&D cosmology works is that the normal world where the people that you play are from are part of these worlds called from the prime material plane. And it's a multiverse. So they're just like the way Neil deGrasse Tyson describes sort of these concepts. There's this idea that there's this space matter called phlogiston. And that's the stuff in between these like disks where universes are. So in theory from Sigil, you can travel to any existing D&D property, any third-party property, or any original creation that has nothing to do with anything. And that way they're able to like sort of hook in lore that they sell you with also just doing your own thing and it being both okay, if that helps. So yeah, if you're planning on playing for your first time, you don't need to know all that. Just focus on the goblins and the village and the cool stuff that you can think of at that level.
What's cool, the only thing I would add to this and I think is really cool is, and that's the impression I get from this person, if you're not familiar with the world and the universe, it's actually kind of hard to tell where your stuff begins and theirs ends or theirs starts and yours ends. And that's great. Like you've been able to figure out how to take our campaign and its unique bits that are bow creations and weave them in pretty well to the point that if you didn't know any better, you would just assume all this stuff is D&D, yeah. You know?
And it never stops. Like, you know, when you guys went to the M Sports library,
yeah,
which doesn't exist in any content that is made up. And there was a like a blue noodle there monitoring everyone to be quiet.
Mm-hmm. It's like
there's no such thing as a noodle person in D&D. You know, like you can still use the material, especially with Planescape, because it's a cosmic interdimensional blah blah blah. Like you can literally be like, well, from a planet full of anus people, and they're literally anuses that walk around with feet, and that's what their world's like. Oh. It's like Rick and Morty, basically. Like if you were to think Rick and Morty is an original idea, you need to read Planescape, because it's basically Rick and Morty, like multiverse madness. Like it's this, that stuff's been around for decades, but it's just hitting mainstream now in a strange way.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Since you brought it up, you mentioned that the poster was just going to be a poster at some point. Like M Sports was never supposed to be the primary quest.
No, M Sports didn't exist. I just thought, I mean, I'm all, you guys, we've played together for a while. You know, I'm all about putting stupid jokes in the game and putting stupid things in that maybe it'll get your attention, maybe it won't. And I just had this joke, like, what if instead of esports, because there's no computers, they had some other kind of esports equivalent. All right, M Sports. And I'm like, I knew it might tweak Kyle because, as you know, Kyle's he's a Heroes of the Storm pro and he covers all the professional goings-ons of how to play the game, and I just thought it might be up his alley as at least a joke. But no, there was no fighting system when I posted that poster. Then you guys were super interested in it, and then I had to get to work. So beware, making yourself work.
Well, then
all worth it. It was very fun.
So you're saying there's a chance we do get a planet of anus people, is what you're saying? Because that's...
No, there is a planet of anus people. You just don't know where it is.
Well, let's go there, is what I'm saying. Let's go there.
Can you find the great anus in the universe?
Let's find it. Let's go in there. Let's spray him with acid and get the hell out.
Thing is, it might never happen because I happen to know John's not favorite thing is inside places, like inside creatures places, like the frog demon. Mm. So I think John would quit if we were like on anus world and it was, you know.
Inside of an anus, not the outside of an anus.
Well, it'd be both. You have indoors, outdoors. You know. Gas nebulas that hang around the space.
Sure.
Well, I like speaking where this of is Rick going. And Morty, we did get a question. How is it that you guys are doing a heist quest and no one has said, you son of a bitch, I'm in? But sends their love. But for a bigger question we can answer, do any of you also enjoy a more rigidly understood tabletop experience where things align more with D&D or other tabletop rules, with rules as written? So like total strict by the book.
Is that shade?
I don't. It might be shade. It might be a little shade, but
important to the question.
Even if it's not shade, I think one of the most important rules in D&D is that the DM gets to make calls that seem like it diverts from the rules. So it's the one rule, like it's basically the proof that there are no absolutes in this game. And I don't want it any other way. I don't want a game that is just 100% by the math. Or else we wouldn't get to do some of the really creative stuff we do. I want a DM to have the discretion. And if you get a DM who wants to go just straight down the line and never deviate from a rule or whatever, great. If you don't, whatever. It's still the DM's discretion.
Yeah, it's kind of about are you having fun? Because if they wanted, they could write every contingency into a spell. They could say, and in this situation, here's what you do. And in this situation, here's what you do. And here's what acid does to wood. And they could go down the list and explain all of it. And I think they intentionally leave that ambiguous because, one, they can. And two, because at the end of the day, that's what it's about. It's about you sitting down and telling a story. You know, I don't believe D&D is players versus a DM or DM versus players. We're all sitting down to tell an adventure and to tell a tale and to have a good time. And, you know, I feel like for me, if somebody was just going to sit down and go, rules is written, and that's it. I mean, for one, you're going to bump into places where that doesn't work. And for two, I just don't think it's going to be missing something.
Yeah, I think unless you're delving into board games, right? And I've done Call of Cthulhu. There's the card game and then there's the board game. It's changed since I've played it, but those were really the only two times where the by the book rules were really kind of worth it to get through, because the gameplay and the story itself was really fun once you basically spent 2 months learning how to play the game.
Yeah. And don't forget, even board games, I mean, video games definitely do this, but even board games will have, you know, alternatives in there for some rules. Like they say, you can play this particular way. If there are four of you, you might find it's more fun if you do this, or, you know, those exist in those rule sets as well. So even when you're rigid, they all give you a little bit of an out. In this particular case, it's a real fluid approach. And I think it's designed that way. And 5e, maybe more than any of it. Because 5e is like way less, but not stringent. It's not the word I'm looking for. But there's way less like hard corners you have to take on everything. And I'd much rather have Bo tell us what's allowed than have him be told what's allowed and then have him just be the conveyor of the rules. That's dumb. Like, that's boring.
And the context of the question, I think, is important too, because, you know, if it's just a matter of criticism, you know, I do miss triggers. Like, so stuff is left ambiguous in the rules. So that might mean it's up to the whoever's DMing and how good they know things. And not everyone's good at knowing stuff. That's just reality. It shouldn't prevent anyone from playing. So they're going to make those mistakes.
Right.
We all are going to. Nobody's omnipotent in that way. But if it's just like missing triggers, rolling wrong dice, like I miss triggers and miss status effects all the time. And that just might be my quality level as a DM, you know, like that's how good I am. So I don't know if that's also part of it, but everyone's fallible who plays.
Yeah, and that can also get into the discussion of how your table is set up, right? Because everybody enjoys a different type of gameplay experience. And in order to have a great D&D experience, I think a big part of it is that the whole group agrees on just how into the rules everyone is going to get, right? And mm-hmm. As long as everybody's on the same page, it's fun.
Mm-hmm. So do you want a more stringent DM? I think that was part of the question.
No.
Too. Or would you enjoy a more stringent DM game?
No, I wouldn't.
No.
I would say for me, it depends on which fantasy world.
Hmm.
I'd be willing to try games set in different worlds.
Yeah, if we're doing some cyber,
like more storytelling versus rules.
Yeah, if we were in like cyberpunk thing, or literally a cyberpunk campaign,
yeah,
I may want that world to be more adherent to that. I feel like fantasy.
Oh yeah, get away with that, the whole manual too. Like if I ever run a cyberpunk game, I want to kill the party as viciously as possible.
Oh nice.
And be all rule stringent and exacting. There's like an excitement that's around that game with that's masochistic or sadistic. Yeah. Anyways,
one of those.
But yeah, I mean, you know, games aren't perfect. I think board games are perfect, and I think that's why we're not playing board games for your entertainment. But D&D, like, I just think that the distinguishing factor is there are board games. There is Magic. There is wargaming. Determining a victor is an exacting thing. Like the NFL spends tons of money to make sure, you know, they go back to the replay and make sure, you know, they have refs and try and make sure the result is the most truest result of the contest. D&D is not a contest the way board games, even cooperative ones, are, where it's like all stringent on the rules, even with house rules. D&D can, it's just a spectrum from wargaming to just straight up improv.
Mm-hmm.
And you find a balance in the middle.
Yeah. And then Kyle, you were the only one who didn't weigh in on.
If
you have an opinion.
I mean, like you said, original D&D was very martial. So it was martial classes with very few spells versus evil spellcasters. And in that way, a very rules heavy world works because you've got swords and they have spells. So when the DM makes a mistake, there's no illusion broken because it's all magic for them. When the players get the spells, things are just going to be messy because no one's going to be on the same execution level. You're going to have new players, old players. The DM is supposed to just see it through. So I think we have exactly the style of DMing that matches our style. Like today, I got to fall through that grating when that was a movement action. I should have been able to do that, but darn it, it was more fun to get that process underway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah, that was a stretch for sure, but we wrap it up under the movement. Sometimes you gotta. What is it that Judge Judy says? I don't remember.
She says, "Get out of my courtroom, you pieces of shit."
Usually, it's not about figuring out who's right. It's like that dirty justice or close enough justice, right? Because you know, he said, she said, blah blah blah. You just get the gist of what's right, and you go that direction.
Yeah.
And some people don't like that stuff. They hear that, and they think that's unfair and unconstitutional and everything else. But
well, there's a certain, I mean, that's the thing. That's a whole thing in law, right? Like, mitigating circumstances are real. And mitigating circumstances means, all right, this guy stole the bread, so throw him in jail and cut his hands off. That's the law. We don't deviate. Just do it. Cut his hands off. But then you find out, well, one guy stole the bread just because he's an a-hole and was going to resell it for more to poorer people. And then we found out the other guy who stole bread was because his family's starving and he's out of options and doesn't know what else to do. And he would rather risk this than see his family suffer. Those are not the same cases, right? So you have to make a decision based on those mitigating circumstances. And D&D, from my experience here and when I played it years and years and years ago, is that your time spent in there is full of mitigating circumstances, like constantly. None of them are, as, you know, morally, you know, whatever.
Yeah, it's a pretty intense example you gave of Robin Hood.
Yeah, it's a little bit, you know, whatever. But the idea is the same. Like, you want to be able to have some leeway, because if you're just going letter of the law, you're just all going to die, and it's dumb and it's boring, and plus it's oppressive and martial, like Kyle is a great term for it. And I don't like that, like in life in general. So I like the way this is going much more than that.
Awesome. Well, going on with consequences here, consequences of death and personal observation. I'm not sure if you have already fielded this one, but I'm curious if Bo and or the gang have any reservations regarding Hope and Stanley's resurrection. I'm super happy to have everyone back and seemingly unscathed. But after that wild earth-breaking blast, it does sort of reduce the suspense during combat. I personally don't mind that, but I'm curious how the players feel.
I will say Stanley is back. He is not unscathed. I there have been hints as to how Stanley views life and how he views his return. And suggesting that he may not want to go back to the waste is kind of just the start of it, but he is not the same person who died. And so I don't think we've necessarily gotten into all of that, but I would say that it definitely had a deep impact on him. The Stanley we have might not have stood in that beam.
So Dian Talos is alive, confirmed. Done. We did it.
Oh, Dian Talos is alive. He didn't die.
Well, you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know what you mean. So he's the...
Excuse me, wait a second. Hold on a minute. Alive. I just did one of those. I'm sorry.
Actually, Dian Talos is fine. He's just in a capsule.
If you pay more attention during our sessions, you know that he was still alive.
Oh, my lord.
All right. I don't know if any other players had an opinion on that whole thing or not. There was a question about resurrection diminishing the tension of death.
Well, see, it was such a double-edged sword, because when the deaths were announced on the show, or when that became clear, there were a lot of people, especially live that day, that were just like, oh my gosh, I don't know what to think of this. I don't know if I can deal with this. To them, this was like, I can't think of an example. Let's say The Simpsons, Homer, Marge, and Bart have all been killed, and now they have to move on with new people. Like, seems insane, right? It seems like insane. But here's the problem, or here's the twist. If you hung around to the next episode, you learned, we've picked right back up with some rad replacements that are interesting in their own weird way. And I think what happened there is a whole bunch of people really glommed on to the bird and Squirts and really became fond of them. I mean, I can say for myself, I just found Squirts to be one of the most delightful characters we've ever experienced in the game. And I was bummed to think that, well, maybe Squirts won't be here forever. So I think then a lot of people were like me and went, oh man, now I miss Stanley and Hope, but I don't know, this is pretty good. I don't know if they can do, and so then when it goes back, now there's that big question of, well, was there ever any, was there ever any danger? Was this just wait until next season to find out if Batman gets out of this cage? Oh, yep, of course Batman gets out of the cage. So there wasn't really ever a real threat. And so I can see how people would perceive it that way. But I still think we did all that the best way you could, given what we had. Like, I don't regret any of it. And I'm,
Yeah. I mean, Resurrection's in the game. Yeah. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
And also, there's still the demon text on the back of the next. Like, they walked out of a mirror. So I'm always fine with Resurrection as long as there are pretty severe consequences. And we're talking about, like, movies and books that have been thought about and written and rewritten a billion times. But that's always how I enjoy Resurrection, is that it's never clean. And it can't ever be clean.
Right.
A few other mitigating circumstances to vibe off our law talk with respect to their resurrection as well. One is I tried to make it be a subject of effort to have the resurrection take place. There would have been a number of options available in Sigil, and that is factor two. If they had died and were still in Caravalon, still in the Daemonvold, there's no people around with the resurrection magic. So none of this would have happened. But it just so happens, as part of the way everything rolled out, they went into, the city of doors, where all the universes meet, and they're probably talented if they've come to this place. So there's magic and options everywhere for resurrection. So in heaven, in hell, and in the worlds between heaven and hell, which they find themselves in, resurrection's in high supply. That's not to say that if they return to Earth and get no scrap with the principal and bite it on the field of battle, that some birdman's going to come and be like, hey, would you like to join Eastparch? And I'll resurrect you if you trick the guy. Like, that, that's not likely to happen out in the real prime material plane. So if anyone is listening and they feel a little bit like, they kind of trivialized it, even though there was a lot of, effort to get them resurrected, keep in mind, they are in it's not the afterlife, but they're in what you or I, if we went there, might be like, this is an afterlife world. This place is crazy. Yeah.
I also think that there's a difference, and I don't want to speak for you, Bo, but as a player, there's a difference between, well, I made a bad call, I made a bad decision, and my character died because I took on more than I could, or I did something really stupid, or I made a heroic sacrifice in a way where it was just a situation that we happened to be in. Bo created a situation that was very much just like, nope, you're going to die. And I think to have a narrative arc that brings those people back, you know, Stanley and Hope didn't die because we just made a mistake. We died because there was a narrative hook that allowed that to happen. And I think there being a narrative hook on the other side to allow them to come back from that doesn't really feel like a cheat to me. It feels like a, okay, well, this could have stuck. It might not have, you know, it's kind of up to the players. So I think there's a difference there in my mind, at least.
Also, you guys getting rezzed was the choice of Varel. Like, Varel could have been like, I knew some people in the past with Squirts and Chunks. Let's move on to the future. Like, that.
Interesting.
He could have done, like, anybody could have done that. Be like, yeah, I could rez them, but then I got to do this M Sports thing, and I think I just need to lay low. I don't know. I didn't really like them anyways. Like, you know, so it took effort. It took decision as well. So just to chime in on what you said, I feel good about it.
Yeah.
Myself.
I really do. Because I don't know, I feel like we got best of both worlds. We got to fool around with these new characters in a way that was really interesting. And they're not necessarily gone anyway. But also, you know, we got to keep the key cast together. And I don't know, there's something tricky about doing that. And I feel like it was pulled off as well as anybody's ever done it. So it was good.
Keep in mind, for every person out there who's thought like, oh, this seems, you know, I don't know, a little easy, there are people out there who were genuinely devastated by their deaths.
Oh, yeah.
More so than I'd be like, sometimes I look at them and be like, really, they're just characters. And I'm like, I shouldn't think that way. They're, you know, people, we've been all part of this for 2 years. They're really important. And it's a moment. So, you know. I underestimated the amount of feeling there would be, not from the players, but from listeners.
To me, it was like, the comparison for me was like how I felt during Endgame, during a certain death. It was really hard. Like, somebody I just didn't think would die, died. And I won't get into who in case someone still hasn't seen it. But, you know, that's an emotional thing if you're invested in who that is. And, there are bound to be people who feel that way about our characters, as strange as it may sound to us, to them it's a very real thing. So well said, Bo.
One more question.
Right, and what's the first thing each of you will do once you step through that portal back to your world?
Nash can take a big old shit right in the floor and say, hey, look at this, Stanley. No, I don't know what I'm gonna do.
The one person who's got probably the most legit reason to go back, he's got a wife, he's got a kid on the right? way, and he's like, I'm gonna take that shit.
Yeah, I don't really mean that. What will Nash do? I probably do want to say, oh my gosh, I'm back. That means that this family is still here. That'd be the first priority, so I'd want to go find out where they're at and how's it going. For sure. How about you guys?
Yeah. I don't know if Stanley's going back.
Oh, that's right. He likes it here. Remember that? That whole thing with him liking it here?
I mean, we come from a horrible place, and we're in a place of infinite possibilities. He probably will. His friends have made good case for him going back, and he probably wants to see them succeed. He's definitely not happy about having a death mark, but he's been happy in Sigil.
I mean, you still have to kill the principal.
Well,
that's true, but okay, so we're talking about if anything could happen coming through the portal, Hope would have ascended to godhood. And she'd be glowing, and she'd come in, and she'd kill everyone she hates and spread her empire across the land.
So the plan is to get power in the Outlands, and then return and fulfill the thing. And be
well, gods can't stay in Sigil, correct?
That's right. That's true. But they can, you know, do many other things. Only in Sigil is their power diminished.
Hey, Bo, I got a question for you that's like not related to any of these, but it just made me think of it. We're talking about gods and who can be staying Sigil and all that.
Sure.
If if the Lady of Pain, okay, has there ever been anybody who as a DM can just and I'll just ask you, can you as DM go, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give her some physical form and we're going to fight her. She's going to be the final boss before we leave this place. I'm not saying, are you going to do that? I'm saying, can you do that? Like, are there some sacred cows in this game where you're just like, you can't do it?
There's no sacred cows. Your campaign is your campaign. Okay. So if you want, you know, who's a well-known character in the D&D universe? I mean, if you want Matt, if you want Matt Mercer to show up and be the final boss, God Matt Mercer, and he's got, I don't know, he juggles and his attacks are that he juggles at you and hits you with the balls and
says things like what does McCree say? I was going to do a McCree line. Never mind.
It's high noon.
There you go.
I mean, you can literally do whatever you want. It's just, that's where I think tables might break down, or, you know, hopefully your players can vibe with what you're putting down. So yeah.
Right.
There are no sacred cows. It's your game.
Okay.
It's your time and you can do whatever you want. Your players might not like it. They're like, what is it? Like, if they feel like perhaps you're not treating with a lot of respect, or I don't know, they're just not digging what you're doing, that can be a problem. But that's for you to discuss in your group and to settle. Ultimately, most players are like really happy that they know a DM who's going to do that stuff. So it is kind of a buyer's market in that regard. So, you know, if you know a bunch of people want to play D&D and you're like, I want to play in Dragonlance, and everyone else, some other people want to play in Forgotten Realms, you can kind of make that call and they can choose to play or not. They should still be happy enjoying the game. But yeah, if that answers your question, I think, like, you know, it's, yeah, there's no sacred cows. You can do whatever you want.
So Lady of Pain, boss fight confirmed is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, okay. That's right. You got it from me.
All right.
Well done.
All right.
Perfect.
Varel didn't answer the question of what the first thing he's going to do when he gets back.
Oh, yeah. What are you going to do?
I want to go check out my kingdom. I mean, either the fight is done or it's continued forever. Like, that is glory central.
Yeah, what's happening in Razak Valen? How's everyone's favorite Omnom?
Oh, yeah.
Varel, you fool! You should just kill them!
I gave him that necklace of fireballs, so I'm pretty sure that went extremely well.
I tried to make fire from these balls. Nothing happened. I threw it away.
He immediately put it in his mouth when I handed it to him. I'm sure it went great.
I was just holding it there.
I get asked about Bok Bok still. People ask about Bok Bok a lot. Are we ever going to talk to Bok Bok?
Bok Bok's like a divisive one because half of people miss him. The other half are thinking their ears that they don't have to listen to Goblin anymore. So I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
But maybe he's there, yeah. But Varel wants his kingdom. And I'm sure he'll check out the Golden Sands and see what's going on there, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All right,
this
cool.
One's for Bo. Oh, sorry. Are we attending?
No, go ahead. Do one more.
Okay. Was the first episode of the Sigil arc, pardon me, with all the other characters either dead or, in Nash's case, incapacitated, a chance for a solo Varel episode, mainly so you could make it up to Kyle for him being stunned out of most of the last arc? I like the idea of a DM using an opportunity story-wise to reward make-up to players who didn't necessarily get to contribute as much previously.
I mean, there's no plans for that, but it is a great idea. In fact, if you think of this, what we're doing here is like a comic book series, I would definitely want to do a limited run for each of the characters in the story. So I'm picturing the panels now of Varel, kind of like reminiscent of maybe some of the great, there's a series that Todd McFarlane did, the Spider-Man one, and there's a Lizardman, or the Lizard arc in it.
Oh, right, the Lizard story. The lizard he was called. It was just called the Lizard, I think.
The Lizard, yeah, but there's some great panels in that comic, and I kind of picture like this sort of dark cave and dripping ooze and Varel fighting hordes of something dark and disgusting trying to find his way out. It'd be perfect.
That sounds awesome. I would love that. All right, well, that's I guess that's our questions. We have a couple more. We'll hang on to them for next time. Also, here's the thing. We really want to flood our deal with your questions, so go over there, therewillbedungeons.com, and just go to the form. It's right there. You don't have to click to go anywhere else. Go to the site. There's the form. Fill it out. Send us your questions. It could be anything. As you heard these kind of questions or comments today, we'll take them. Even if you just have a compliment, we'll read those. If you have a complaint, if you're like, Stanley is too mean to Nash, well, let us know. What you think of that? No bias.
It's not true.
It's not true.
He's
but
100% as mean as Nash deserves.
As mean as he needs to be. Yeah, so whatever it is on your mind, we'd love to hear it. That, again, is therewillbedungeons.com. And you also find all our Twitter accounts and that other stuff. We're always open to chat with you during the week. So please reach out and let us know you're listening to the show. That will do it for us and this month's bonus episode. We'll be back next time with another one of these. And if you are getting this a week late, not shame on you. But, you know, hey, head on over to the site, therewillbedungeons.com. Sign up, and then you get it a week early, like all these cool people are getting it. Yeah, that's right, the cool people. I called them that. All right, that's going to do it for us. Thank you all for being here. For me, for Kyle, for Kristen, for John, for Bo. We'll see you next time. She says, get out of my courtroom, you pieces of shit!